47% of the people attend church once a week. Only 20% of Americans attend church every week. 57% of Americans seldom or never attend church. The sad fact is some of us in this building under the sound of my voice are in this number. Now, I'm going to preach this morning about the sin of missing church. I'm not talking about when you're sick. I'm not talking about when we're on vacations or things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this morning when you just don't feel like coming and you don't come.
Amen.
When other things are more important than the house of God. When other things come before the Lord. And we all got them.
Amen.
We all got them. I mean, it's amazing to me that, certain times of the year, church attendance fall off. I realize, Brother Tony, I learned a long time ago, in the summertime, Brother David, in the summertime, I've told all my preacher friends and preacher boys that come out from under me, the numbers are going to go down a little bit in the summertime. People are taking vacation, and I don't have a problem with that. Amen? I like vacations myself. That's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about on Sunday night when you say, I got to get up and go to work in the morning. Well, on Monday night, you're going to go to work. On Tuesday, you still could get up and go. I'm talking about when you just got other things that come before you and come before God's house. Now, I want to start in verse 23. And see, the thing about when you study the Bible and when you read the Bible, a lot of times, if we're not careful, Jackie, we want to take this one verse right here, Brother David, and we want to hammer down on that verse. But you got to understand something. When all these verses are in these chapters, that's there for a reason. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, not wavering, for he is faithful that promised. That right there means hold fast to your testimony of your faith without wavering, not leaning to one way or the other. What is the profession of our faith? Brother David hit on this morning in Sunday school. You say you're a Christian, and when they see your car at the house on Sunday night and on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning sometimes, they wonder whether or not you're a Christian. Hold fast the profession of our faith. Verse 24. Now notice right here, we got a conjunction. I'm going to give y'all a little lesson this morning. That means this verse is adjoined, Greg, to the verse before that. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Others are counting on you. Listen, on Sunday night, when I get up to preach on Sunday night, and I look back and Clint ain't sitting where Clint normally sits, and Tony might not be sitting where Tony normally sits, and Greg ain't sitting where Greg normally sits. Let me tell you something. That does a little something to the pastor's heart to know that everything's all right at your house, and you could be in church, but you ain't. Provoking one another. Others are counting on us. Not only that, when Brother David gets up in Sunday school and he looks where you used to sit, and now you're not sitting where you used to sit, that breaks his heart a little bit.
Amen.
When Brother Chucky or Brother Tony and Brother David would get up and open up the service and others are counting on you, you got to understand something. We are to provoke others to love and good works. That word provoke right there, it means to incite or to do good. You can't provoke if you ain't here. I know we're not going to be shouting and not going to be a lot of amens today. But it's the word, amen. People are counting on you. People are counting on you. We say we love each other. We say we're here for each other. We say we're a team. Let me go ahead and tell you something. If you got a football team and only 10 shows up, you in trouble. Amen. I mean, how many spots in the choir could have been filled this morning, but somebody didn't come? We are to provoke one another. Now, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the days approaching. Paul is telling us here, don't miss church as the manner of some is. Listen, we look around. We talk about being a Christian. We talk about being faithful to God. Understand something. And the thing about it is we all know people that say they're a Christian as the manner of some is. Some people, what they got them to SMOs, Sunday morning onlys. We got them coming, you know, Christmas only, Easter only. It's amazing to me that when the Easter play comes, how church attendance can go up because people want to be in the Easter play. What about the other 9 months out of the year? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some men, but exhorting one another, lifting up one another. That means what, let me go ahead and tell y'all this. Brother, I love Brother Scoopy Miller to death. Brother Scoopy was one of my best friends, but Brother Scoopy Miller was the world's worst. You miss a couple of Sundays, where in the world you been? That ain't what that's talking about. We ought to exhort one another. If somebody hadn't been to church in a while, don't talk down to them. Don't tell them they need a visitor card. Bless God, hug their neck and love them and just try to love each other. All the way back into church where we're supposed to be. Exhorting one another. Let me tell you something. Clint and Megan had to be out of church for a couple of weeks there because the kids were sick and she was sick. Let me tell you, it excited me to see them back in church. Praise the Lord, I made a beeline. I wanted them to know I love you, and I'm glad you're back in church. Amen. We had somebody come last week. I hugged his neck. I'm glad you're back in church. Glory to God. I'm not going to fuss because you ain't been here. I'm going to be excited because you are here now. Amen. Exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? It's talking about the day of judgment. Jesus is coming. We ought to be doing our very best to lift up each other and encourage each other to be faithful to God's house. Jesus is coming. Now let's look at verse 26. Here we go, another conjunction. For, that means this verse is joined to the verse before that and to the verse before that and to the verse before that. He's still talking about the same thing. He's still talking about church attendance. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. He's still talking about church attendance. If we sin willfully, Brother Ed, he's talking about if you lay out of church willfully. That's what he's talking about right here. Preachers like to preach this verse out of context. But if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth or we become saved, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Let me tell you something. After you know better, you're supposed to be better. Amen. After you know, let me tell you something. How many of us know we have church on Sunday morning? How many of us know we have church on Sunday night? How many of us know we have church on Wednesday night? How many of us know that we have Master's Meeting? We have Ladies Auxiliary? I think all of us are supposed to be there for each other and exhorting one another to be faithful to God. For if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, the Jews that he's talking to right here, this is the book of Hebrews. It was written to the Hebrews. The Jews, Brother Tony, they knew that in the Old Testament, and they knew up to this time, that they could go out and get an animal, they could kill that animal, and they could get their sins covered. It ain't like that now. There was one sacrifice, and his name was Jesus. There remaineth no more sacrifice if we sin willfully. Verse 27 starts off with but. You know what that means? That means it's a join to the verse before that, to the verse before that, to the verse before that. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. There's no more sacrifice, but there will be judgment and there will be indignation which shall devour the adversaries. The adversary right there comes from the Greek word that those who oppose. In other words, he said, if you oppose this teaching that I'm giving you right now, if you oppose this word that I'm giving you right now, and there's somebody in this church right now, there's somebody under the sound of my voice right now, oh, I ain't got to come back to church tonight. I ain't got to do what that preacher says. This is who he's talking about right here. This is who he's talking about right here. those who opposed this teaching. What happened to those that opposed this teaching? Look at verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Is it a sin to miss church? I told y'all this was going to be like the phone call from God. Boy, I hadn't heard about the Bible, but I didn't know all that was in there. Is it a sin to miss church? Look at verse 29. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall be he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. When you count church as not important, when you count the wide world of sports as more important than Jesus, when you count the Super Bowl as more important than coming to church, when you count your rest because you got to get up in the morning as more important than coming to church, you are trodden underfoot the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. You are trodden underfoot. In other words, you are stomping on the blood of Jesus. You are counting the blood of Jesus as an unholy thing and have done despite. That word despite there means to done insult to the Spirit of grace. We live under grace. God's going to understand if I lay out on Sunday night. God's going to understand if I don't come to revival on Monday night or Tuesday night. We're living under grace. The Bible says you're stomping underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are insulting the Spirit of grace when that's your attitude. Now, how do we know this is still talking to the church, Brother Robert? How do we know, Brother Ralph, this is still talking to us Christians? How do we know that? There's a word in that verse right there. It's called sanctified. The world ain't sanctified, Brother Clint. He's talking to Christians. So this is to Christians. Look at verse 30. There's another word, for. That means it's joined to the one before it. For we know that he hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. He's still talking about church attendance. That's what that's talking about. He's still talking about just laying out of church because you don't feel like coming. Like I said, I'm not talking about when you got to work. I'm not talking about when you're sick. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when you just don't think it's important enough to get up and go. Now, verse 31 is one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. But it's in there, and it's still talking about church attendance. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When you know better, let me put it this way. When you know you're supposed to come to Sunday school, but you don't. When you know you're supposed to come to Sunday night service or Wednesday night service or revival service, but you don't. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. How is it with you? Man, I debated on this thing this morning. I'll be honest with you. I even went in my office and Brother Tony and looking for something else for the Lord to let me preach. And I laid it out there. I said, God, if this is your will, you let this, and this happen. And just so happened, Brother Melvin even agreed with it.
Amen.
The Bible says God once winked at ignorance, but he ain't doing that no more. Once you, I'll put it to you, the ball is in your court now. I've done what God asked me to do. And church, I love you. And I want the best for you. And I want the best for this church. And I'm not preaching this tonight because I'm mad at you. That's not today because I'm mad. That's not what it is. That ain't got nothing to do with it. I want the best for us. But now, you're going to have to answer because you know. No doubt, Andy, no doubt there's big people in this building that didn't know all that was in there about that verse. I'll be honest with you. And I meant to say this when I started preaching this. There's an old Southern Baptist evangelist that I got to meet down in Conway years ago. The first one I ever heard preach this passage of Scripture was him. His name was Sam Cathy. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've been a lot more polite this morning than he was. Papa Sam preached this same message over at Antioch Baptist Church about 20-some years ago when Preacher Pat Minahan was there. And he basically told them when he finished preaching it, if you're not back tonight, you're backslidden on your way to hell. Wow. I'm not going to go that far, but I'm just saying the ball's in your court now. Right. I want Sister Jenny to come. And she's going to sing this song. And I want you to think about the words of this song, and then I want you to think about your life, and I want you to think about your soul. Leaned over and asked David, I said, his Sister Jenny got it as well with my soul in that computer? Let me ask you a question. Is it well with your soul? Are you sad, after a message like this, are you satisfied with your church attendance? After a message like this, are you satisfied with where you're at? Think about that long and hard. If you would bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for your word. Holy Ghost, you move right now, God. You touch hearts that need touching. God, I pray, God, you just help us right now, God. If we're not satisfied.